Well, you can take your Bibles and open up to a scripture that we've already read a couple of times this weekend. 2 Timothy is the scripture that we're going to start out with, but we're going to do another thing or two first. First of all, I want to thank Michael and Jeff for asking me to share the word. It is always an incredible honor and privilege to be able to share the word, and quite honestly, sitting up here and looking out at you and all of the word that's already been shared this weekend, if I get through this without crying, that will be great. So the topic I'm going to share about this morning is under-shepherding. And under-shepherding is the loving care that's needed to help believers grow in their knowledge of God's word and in their relationship with God Almighty and with Jesus Christ. And the process of under-shepherding can be compared to how a shepherd tends to his sheep. There is a man by the name of George Lamza. He was born in Assyria in the 1890s, and he was born in a sheep-raising family. And at the time that he was born in Assyria, Assyria was, people didn't know about it. He spoke Aramaic. Many scholars believe that Aramaic was a dead language at that time. And he was raised in this sheep-raising family. His father was actually the chief shepherd of their tribe. And he wrote a book. He translated the Bible from Aramaic into English. Some of you may have or have seen a Lamza's Bible. But he also, among other things, wrote this book called The Shepherd of All. And I wanted to read just a little bit of what he said about a shepherd. He said, "Sheep raising is an occupation where greed, dishonesty, and crookedness are seldom found, and where sharing and hospitality prevail. In this field of endeavor, man deals not so much with material goods devised by his own mind and produced by the works of his own hand as with living creations through whom God's love and his divine care for his children are so generously manifested. God is often pictured in the Bible as a shepherd and his people as sheep. No other illustration is more fitting to illustrate God's care for his children. Just as sheep need the shepherd's guidance and protection, really needs their protection, while they are led up to the mountain paths, man needs God's guidance and care in order to be led in the narrow paths of life and to find his way in a vast universe. When a flock has a good shepherd, there is no fear of sheep being lost or any lack of grass and water, and the sheep follow him. Likewise, when man relies upon and trusts in God for his spiritual needs and guidance, his daily bread will be supplied. He will hear the voice of the men of God and will be led into spiritual understanding and comfort, just as sheep are guided and led into green, virgin pastures and places where water is abundant." So the process of under-shepherding, as I said, can be compared to how a shepherd works with his sheep. And it's that loving care that a shepherd has for his sheep that we want to provide to people. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, a verse that we've read a few times this weekend, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And that is our goal in under-shepherding. We want to find those people who want to be faithful to God's word, those people who have a hunger for God and his word, who want to know more about what Jesus Christ accomplished for them. You know, people don't know what Jesus Christ accomplished for them. They don't know our Lord and Savior. They don't know our Heavenly Father. They might know whatever religion they were brought up in, but many people do not know our Heavenly Father. They don't know what Christ accomplished. And that's something that we can bring to people, to bring them deliverance so that they can have a life that's more than abundant. So that's our goal in under-shepherding, to teach faithful men who shall be able to teach others to do that as well. So to do that, we need to help people become a vital part of the family and the household of God. We need to help people understand that they're part of one body, that we're not Roman Catholic, we're not Methodist, we're not Hasidic Jews, we're not Buddhist, we're not this, we're not that, but we are all of one body because we have made Jesus Christ our Lord. We believe that God raised him from the dead, and we have that Holy Spirit within, and each one of us has the same amount of Holy Spirit as anybody else. So we want to help people become a vital part of the family and the household of God, that they're part of the one body. And we want to help that individual that we've witnessed to and that's responded to the word. We want to help that individual become the best believer that they can be. You know, I always love it when Jerry shares that when he got into the word, he told God that he wanted to become the best Jerry Carr that he could be. He looked up to other people. He wanted to be able to grow like other people did. He wanted to mature in the word. He wanted to witness. He wanted to be loving. He wanted all these other things that were great examples, but he wanted to be the best Jerry Carr that he could be. And that should be our goal as well, that I can be the best Dorsey Foley that I can be, that you can be the best you that you can be. And then when we witness to somebody and that person has a hunger for the word, that we can help that person be the best individual that they can be. So turn to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. So we want to help people to become a vital part of that family of God. That was the first thing that I gave you there. So to do that, Ephesians chapter 2. And this is something that we can teach people as they have an interest in God's word. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes or who once were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And this is talking about Judean and Gentile, which at the time of the writing of the scriptures, there was basically the two classifications of people, God, and then Church of God. And in God's eyes, there are only three classifications of people. There is Judean, there is Gentile, there is Church of God. I don't care whether somebody is a Hasidic Jew or a whatever they are, or if they're a Buddhist, if they're a Roman Catholic, if they're Episcopalian, like what I was brought up in, you're either Judean, Gentile, or Church of God. That's the three classifications. In verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, Jesus Christ came to break down that enmity so that there would be no more separation between Judean and Gentile. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Judean and Gentile into one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Jesus Christ paid the price so that we could be that one body. And we need to tell people that. We need to show people that. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. And don't we need that in our world today? People need that peace. They need to know that peace, the peace of God, is available to them. This world is a crazy, mixed up place. If you haven't noticed that recently, turn the television on for 5 minutes and you'll see what a crazy place this is. But God Almighty is the author of peace, and Jesus Christ paid a high price so that you and I could have that peace from God. So he came and he preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both, Judean and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you know, when we witness to people and people have an interest in the word, many people still feel like strangers. They feel like foreigners. I mean, didn't you feel like that before you got in the word? Did you wonder where you belonged in life? You know, did you feel sort of out in left field at times? You might have been the most popular person in your class or whatever, but, you know, when it came down to the real heart matters of things, a lot of people feel lost. They feel like they're strangers. And Jesus Christ paid the price for that so that we can know who we are in Christ, so that we don't have to be strangers and foreigners or even feel that way anymore. So we can help people to become a vital part of that family, that household of God. Turn to 3 John right before Revelation. 3 John. So we can help also help that individual who's getting into God's word. We can help that individual become the best believer that we can, that they can be. And in 3 John verse 2, it says, I always think of Chris Lewis when I think of this verse because this is her license plate. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And that should be our goal for people as we help them and unfold the word of God to them, that they can prosper. And one place in the word, that word prosper is translated, have a prosperous journey. And that's what God wants for people, to have a prosperous journey in life. And you know, that reminds me of John 10:10. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God wants us to have a prosperous journey in life, have that more abundant life, and to be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And that health covers mentally, physically, spiritually. It covers all aspects of life. God wants our life to be a prosperous journey, and he wants us to be in health in every aspect of our life. So we want new believers to understand the mystery. Take a look at Colossians chapter 1. So as people get into the word and we are unfolding the word to them, you know, I was talking to Chris Chatton before, and I was telling him, you know, I was brought up in the Episcopal Church. I knew the Sunday routine of the Episcopal Church, but I didn't know the word. And I had questions about the word. And Chris was saying he had the same thing too. You know, I'd go to the priest and I'd ask a question, or I'd go to the Sunday school teacher, I'd ask a question about the word, and they didn't have an answer. And I said, if you ask somebody in the church, what is the great mystery in the Bible? I bet you 90-some percent are not going to know. They might say, it's a mystery. But the mystery has been revealed. God has made known that mystery. And once people really understand the greatness of that mystery, it just builds you up inside. You just feel alive inside. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 26, it says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who ever heard of such a thing? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, who walked the face of the earth, his ministry was not long. His ministry was about a year. In that year, what did he accomplish? The scriptures say that the books of the world can't contain everything that Jesus Christ accomplished in that time. Jesus Christ came to be our Redeemer. He came to redeem us from everything that Adam caused. And as our Redeemer, he paid a high price. And what God did for you and for me on the day of Pentecost, anytime somebody confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believes in their heart God raised him from the dead, that person gets Holy Spirit. That person has Christ within. And no person has any more Christ in them than anyone else. You witness to somebody, you read them Romans 10, 9 and 10, they believe in their heart God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, they make Jesus Christ their Lord. At that moment that they get born again, that person has the same amount of Christ in them that you have if you've been in the Word for 50 years. Isn't that amazing that God would do that? What a loving Heavenly Father. But people don't know. And somebody gets in the Word and you tell them that they've got Christ in them. Verse 28, whom we preach, and that word preach means we show, we make it known, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. And that word warning, my only Greek word that I'm going to give you in this teaching. That Greek word is the Greek word nouthateo. And that is, it's a counseling word. It's a calling back word. It's not at all a negative word. We think of warning sometimes as, uh-oh, you know. But it's not. It's a calling to the Word. It is a bringing somebody back to the Word so that they can walk in a more perfect and a more steadfast way. It's helping people. So whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. And that teaching is teaching in depth, to impart instruction, to expound. So we really need to spend time with people as people are getting into the Word. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. And that word perfect means fully mature. And isn't that really almost the fulfillment of 2 Timothy 2:2? That really is. We want to present every man perfect in Christ, and that's our goal as we move the Word. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And that labor means hard work until you're tired. And sometimes helping people isn't easy. And I'll tell you a secret. Sometimes we're not easy either. You know, how much patience has God had with you and with me? He's had a lot of patience with us. And we need to have that same kind of patience with people as people get into the Word, as we unfold the Word to them. So I'm going to give you the great key in under-shepherding. There is a great key in under-shepherding. And that great key is that you really care about that person and you love them from the depth of your heart with the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. That is the great key to under shepherding, because when you love somebody, when you generally love somebody, you're going to put yourself out for them. I mean, look at a parent with children. Parents with children, they want the best for their kids. They provide the best for their kids. They have a vision for what their children are going to grow up to be. And we need to have that same kind of vision for people. And, you know, I can say that is the great key, because remember in 1 Corinthians 13, towards the end, it says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is what? Charity, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. All right, so I'm going to give you some ways that we can help people as we get people into the Word and as we try to bring them up in the Word. The first thing is pray for them. That is the first thing that you can do for people. Pray for people. And you know, pray for people with your understanding as well as praying for people in the spirit. I've found that many times when I'm praying for somebody with my understanding, that it just helps me to focus on that person a little bit more. But then speak in tongues for that person. We don't always know what somebody needs, but we can speak in tongues for that person. So that's the first key in under-shepherding, is really pray for that person. Second thing, take them to fellowship. They're going to hear the Word there. When I first got in the Word, the person who witnessed to me was driving a friend of mine and me someplace, and he dropped the two of us off, and he turned around to us, and he said, by the way, have either of you ever been interested in God's Word? And my friend said, oh, yuck, no. So, you know, that was the end of her interest in the word. And I said, yes, I have. So he took me to a fellowship right then and there. And that fellowship had just received the most recent Sunday night service teaching from the Way International headquarters. It had just arrived in the mail. They were all excited about it. And that he brought me to that fellowship, and they played that Sunday night service teaching. It was the tape, Fishers of Men. I'll never forget it. And that was my first fellowship. But see, he took me to fellowship, and once I heard the word, I was hooked. I was really hooked because I had been looking for that. I'd been looking for the word. So that's the second thing, take them to fellowship. Another thing that we can do for people, show them or tell people when they're doing great. Boy, people need encouragement. They really need to know when they're, you know, oh, you prayed for that and that came to pass? Wow, isn't that great? Look at how God answers prayer for you. Keep on praying, keep on praying. People need encouragement. They need to be told when they're doing great. Another thing you can do is ask God what you can do for somebody. Sometimes, you know, when you just ask God what you can do, picking up the phone may be just what they need at that particular moment. Maybe sending them a text saying, you know, I was just thinking about you and praying for you. How many times have we done that? And somebody said, oh my God, I can't believe you were praying for me then. That was just the right time. So ask God what you can do for people. And doing little things for people often makes a huge difference. Now, this one is a little bit more complicated in our lives at times. Does that person that you're under shepherding, do they know that they can call you at any time? People should know that. If you have witnessed to somebody, you're under shepherding somebody, that person is going to have needs. We've heard about that through the course of this weekend. The adversary comes along sometimes and tries to steal the word away from them. And people need help. We all need help. Sometimes people have needs at the most inconvenient times. And that could be the time when they need to know that they can call on you and that you are going to pick up that phone and say, what can I do for you? Another thing you can do, find out about that person. You know, what does that person do? What are their interests? What do they like? You know, I'm not particularly a football fan, but my husband is. And, you know, I'll sit and watch football with him because I like to be with him. You know, find out about people, what they do, what they're interested in. And the more you know about a person, sometimes the more you can help them. And, you know, there's a quote I think we've all heard before. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. If somebody knows that you care about them, they're going to trust you a little bit more. Another thing that you can do is be with that person. Make that person a part of your life. Do things with them. You know, for me, if I'm going to go shopping, I'll call somebody and ask them if they want to go shopping with me. People who go shopping with me know that I'm in and out. You know, you're going out for coffee, go ask somebody if they want to join you. You guys are going to play basketball or something, shoot some hoops, ask somebody to go with you. You know, this is all just part of life, part of helping people to become a part of this family, part of this household of God. And while we're with people, then we can share the word with them. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is scripture that we've had a few times over the weekend as well. First Thessalonians chapter 1, and in verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. That was the first thing that I gave you. And look at this is the first thing that he says to these believers, that he is praying for these believers. remembering, verse 3, without ceasing. Here's what he was telling them that he was praying for them about. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith or work of believing and labor of love and patience of hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So praying for people is just so important. Keep your finger here and turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is a doctrinal book. It's written to the church of God. And in so it's written to each one of us, all of us. It has our name on it. And in this book of Thessalonians, there are two prayers that are really wonderful. And you know, reading these prayers in light of this is God's prayer for me, and this can be my prayer for people that I am under shepherding in life, is a really great thing. In chapter 1, verse 15, it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith through your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We continue to give thanks for these people that we are under shepherding. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Are we praying for that in people, for people that we witness to? Are we praying for them to have spiritual understanding, for them to have that revelation knowledge? What a great thing to pray for in our own lives, but also to pray for these people that we're under shepherding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. People need to know the hope. Life gets tough at times, and the hope is sometimes the thing that gets us through. We want people to know the hope and pray that they know it. Know the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, as we're witnessing to people and telling them, you know, we've got eternal life coming. Eternal life is a snap away. As soon as that trumpet sounds and that shout rings out, we're out of here and we've got an inheritance. We've got something to look forward to. You know, so many Christians that don't know the word don't know that they have anything to look forward to. Too many Christians still think they're sitting on the brink of whether they even have eternal life or not. What a joy to know not only that they have Christ in them, the hope of glory, but that they're heaven bound and all hell can't stop them from going. Boy, that's something that we need to help people to understand and pray for. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Are we praying for that in the people that we are under shepherding, for them to see the exceeding greatness of the power that's at work within them? They have Holy Spirit, the same amount of Holy Spirit that you and I have, you know, and we can pray for them to understand that exceeding greatness of that power, that dunamis, that power of Holy Spirit that we have within, according to the working of his mighty power. In chapter 3 is the other great prayer in Ephesians, and you can go back and read these when you have a chance. They're just absolutely magnificent, these prayers, and just take them personally. Take them very, very personally. In chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's everybody in here. That's all these people that we're under shepherding. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Boy, are we praying for that for people, that they can be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man? We should be. And that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that word dwell, it's dwell. It doesn't mean visit. It's dwell. And that word dwell means saturate. You know, how is a sponge when you saturate it? It's just dripping. You know, that Christ may dwell saturate our hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
Yes, we want to get rooted and grounded in the Word, but above all else, we want to get rooted and grounded in love, and we want to help people to get rooted and grounded in love. Quite a few years ago, Diane and I were on the first wave of WOW ambassadors that was sent out by the Way Ministry. And okay, I'll give you a hint of our age. It was 1971. So this was a one-year commitment that we made. It's similar to the Light Bearers that just went to Charlotte. It was a one-year commitment. We were assigned to a family. We were assigned to a certain city. And Dr. Rowell said something the first night of our training that made a huge impact on me. He said, "I'm not sending you out there to get people into the Way Ministry." He said, "I'm sending you out there to get the Word of God into people." Mm-hmm. Isn't that something? That's the goal. Get the Word of God into people. So, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And boy, that's a verse that we can tell people, that we can really work with people on as we're under shepherding. You expect God to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And that happens very, very often. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in verse 5 it says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." So they taught them the word, and then they showed them signs, miracles, and wonders were happening. Another thing that Dr. Werwell said to us, he said, "If signs, miracles, and wonders aren't following you, you're not promoting the right stuff." You know, and that comes with the love of God. Boy, when we really love people, we love people into believing the word. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we became, we were or became among you for your sake. And you became followers of us." And, you know, we want people to follow us, not the idiosyncrasies that we have, but the word that we have. We want people to follow the word, and we want to make sure that we teach the same, that we teach that same word of God. "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place you're believing. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." These people were fairly new in the word when they received this epistle. How do you think they felt? Boy, didn't it just about bust the buttons on their shirts when they heard Paul say this to them? You know, "You're examples." They were telling these people how great they're doing. "You're just doing great. You became examples, and from you sounded out the word." You know, just building these people up. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from the heavens, from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." And to wait for his Son from heaven, that word wait means to hold out, to remain firm. And sometimes it's just saying, okay, life might be tough right now, but, you know, he could come back in a moment, and I'm going to get rewarded for my faithfulness to his word. Don't cave in. Don't cave in to the world. Caving into the world will get you an immediate reward that you've caved into the world, and that's no reward at all. But standing faithful to the truths of God's word and walking with that great love of God, The hope could be in a moment of time. You can get in through anything. There's a verse in the Word that says that God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way for you to escape. That's our God. That's our Heavenly Father. Take a look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And under shepherding does not stop once we think that someone has grown sufficiently in the Word to stand on their own. We're part of this family. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We all need each other. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, that could also be translated, my true child. Look at that tenderness there. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And at this point in time, Timothy had already been ordained. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. He's praying for him. We never stop praying for each other. We never stop praying for people. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. You know, Timothy's going through a rough spot at this point in time. He's an ordained clergyman. He's been in the Word a while. He's a strong believer, but he's going through a tough time. And people do go through tough times. And in those tough times, we need to be able to count on each other. We need to be able to lift each other up. We need to be able to hold one another. I've been through tough times in my life. And boy, the people that were there for me, I don't know what I would have done without them. God would have had to have provided somebody else. And God will always provide for us when we're faithful to his Word. So being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. You know, and I've been kicked in the butt before in the right way. You know, Dorsey, come on, you'll get through this. Get off of it. Forget about it. Put the past behind you. I've been told that. Ask Jerry. You know, he's been great with me, you know, and helped me. And sometimes he was a little bit tough on me. And it was good because I'm still standing on God's Word. And, you know, sometimes we need to do that. One thing about shepherding, one of the aspects of a shepherd that wasn't written about in this book, but, well, it was mentioned, is that he protects those people. He watches out for the wolves that come in and try to steal and kill and destroy. And, you know, that's something that we need to do for people as well as we're working with people. People that are just new into the Word, but the family of God. We need to watch out for each other and help each other. Stir up that gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For which cause also I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which, and this should read, which he has committed unto me against that day, is the way the end of that verse should read. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and believing and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep or guard by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. And what's that good thing that's been committed unto you and me? Holy Spirit. That is a commitment that you made. When you got born again of God's Spirit, you made a commitment. You made Jesus Christ your Lord. You believed God raised him from the dead. You have Holy Spirit within. That's a commitment that you made. And he is saying here, guard that commitment. You guard that Holy Spirit within you. Don't let anybody touch that Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody tell you that you are any less than what the Word says you are. And when you're working with people, don't let anybody tell them that they are less than what the Word says they are. We're God's masterpieces. We're God's chosen gems. We are people who God Almighty called before the foundations of the world, not because we were so special and he said, I'm going to pick you, you, and you. But God in his foreknowledge knew before the foundations of the world that at some point in your life you were going to believe. And that is foreordained. He knew you would believe. That's our God. That is our Father. So I think I will close there. A little bit out of time, but I was going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. That is an epistle that is written to the church, to each of us. And that was the example that they were to follow, the example that Paul gives of how they walked with them. And that's an example of how we can walk with our Heavenly Father and how we can be with the people that we under shepherd and the people that we share this wonderful family of God with. So, Father, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for the greatness of your word. Thank you for your love and your grace and your kindness to us. Thank you that you have given us that good thing, that good deposit, that Holy Spirit, that we can guard that in our own lives and that we can help to guard that in the lives of people who we witness to and who we under shepherd and who we're part of this family of God with. Thank you for your love and your grace and your kindness to us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.